The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Welcome back to the 52nd annual Brad and Jeff Halloween program, or is it the 53rd? I can't remember.
53rd.
The 53rd annual Brad and Jeff Halloween Classic, and we're glad you're along tonight. Sit back, we're going to have a lot of fun. There's some amazing art to look at, and if you haven't seen it, prepare to take a look at it if you're on the internet at all. We have some wonderful ghost stories, perhaps the best contingent of entries ever, and it becomes almost impossible to select winners in a case like we are blessed with here. There are so many talented people out there. It's amazing what they send in. It's fun for you. Now, you've been a professional writer for all these 53 years.
And 55.
55?
Yeah. And,
but it's true. But before we
it
get...
It is true.
Yeah. Before we get started, I want to just give my annual pitch to all of you parents who are going out with your children to have fun. Have fun, but for goodness sakes, understand that the manufactured, mass-produced candy is not good for you, your family, so find something to do with it. The idea of going out and knocking door to door and showing off your costume maybe help the little ones understand that it's as much fun for the people opening the door as it is for the youngsters to dress up and go out and just interact and have fun. So, but don't let them eat that junk. It's a lot of junk, and worse than that in some cases. So for those of you who are having block parties or otherwise school parties and church functions and things, we wish you the very best on the special weekend, which comes around so very fast, faster each and every year. It is truly amazing. Now.
And neither should you accept from a sweet, smiling grandmother the muffins that she's cooked to give out. You might be a little hesitant in that, too. Any baked goods that are handed out.
Unless she's a direct blood relative or a family member.
Yes.
I wouldn't do it.
even then, these days, you can't be certain.
Well, the problem is the processed foods that are used to even scratch prepare muffins and cookies are often full of, well, I'll tell it like it is, toxic materials, aspartame, MSG, all kinds of junk.
Plastic.
Plastic, FD&C, the dyes, yellow lake, blue, green, red, FD&C 40, red. These are really things you do not want in your children's bodies. And you'll notice that all the snack-sized candy bars that are given out. Mars, I had Betty Martini on Wednesday, who has been battling the aspartame wars for 19 years, and she called Mars and she said, "I want a straight answer. Do you or do you not put aspartame in your candy?" And they said, yes, Miss Martini, we do use aspartame in our Mars bars. So it's there. And it's a shame because when Brad was young, that was before candy bars, but when I was young, they had...
I never went trick-or-treating. No, we would have a party at one of the friends' home. And I guess it was dunking for apples, caramel apples sometimes.
That's hard to dunk for, isn't it?
Yeah, I meant
break
I
a few teeth
a
on that.
There. Dunking for apples that float, and then maybe a treat might be a caramel apple and popcorn, which of course was popped right there by the mothers.
Well, those were the days, and then the candy bars came out. And when candy bars first came out for you younger people, and that's people in their 30s and on down, there were, like, let's just say, a Milky Way. Whatever, Baby Ruth. There were six or seven ingredients. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And now if you look at the label, you need a magnifying glass first. I don't know how they make font that small still recognizable. It's almost as if you need a microscope. But there are 40 and 50 ingredients sometimes in these things. I looked at a box of powdered donuts. I told this story years ago. I just, for fun, when I was a kid, powdered donuts were fun. And there were over 50 ingredients in these little white, simple powdered donuts, powdered sugar.
You mean those
donuts.
Little tiny ones that come in a box?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Doesn't matter what size, it's the same process. But ungodly amounts of things that you couldn't pronounce. And if you can't pronounce it, you know you don't want it in you. And now they hide MSG behind probably close to 100 different labels, names. They can name it anything they want if they just cut it 2% with anything else. Let's say you have a 1 pound of MSG and you exchange 2% of that volume with flour. You can call it anything you want. Anything. Enhanced yeast protein. Sounds pretty good. It's MSG.
Sounds pretty good.
Okay. So, read labels. We spent a lot of time on this program trying to help. Jeffrey Smith at seedsofdeception.com has the most invaluable information, as does rents.com. Just type in MSG and aspartame and start reading. And they're cutting sugar with aspartame now because it's 10 times less expensive to produce than actually to buy refined sugar. It's so cheap. And it turns into methyl alcohol, which causes blindness and seizures. It turns into formic acid, which further breaks down into formaldehyde. And it turns into DKP, diketopiperazine, which is a known brain tumor agent. It will cause brain tumors. Okay? This is what aspartame is, NutraSweet. That's what it breaks down to every single time in your stomach, goes into your bloodstream, and you get to deal with it. So understand, Halloween can be fun, but the collection and eating of candies is not what it used to be. Wasn't it when we were kids used to worry about some deviant somewhere would put a pin in an apple? Remember that? They'd put a needle in an apple. That was
a big difficult thing to do, but I'm sure somebody did it.
Well, it was the fright
thing.
You
could put it into a caramel apple, I suppose, but otherwise just putting a razor blade in an apple.
Well, it was just these horror stories would come out every year, but now it's the food labels that are the horror stories, and unfortunately on the individually snack-sized candy bars, there are no ingredients listed. They just put them on the large package that 50 little bars come in. They don't have to put them on the individual bars. Another concession and favor from the Food and Death Administration. So, all right, there's our little disclaimer and have fun, but by all means, look at your children and are they carrying any extra body weight? Yes, most of them, so they don't need the sugar anyhow. All right, now, back to the great contest this year, and it has been a grand one. The art. And what we'll do in just a minute or two after the first break is we'll start to look at the art pieces, which we do. And it's just fun to walk through the gallery and look at them all. They all have their strengths and they all have their weaknesses.
All
some,
of them.
Some have more weaknesses than others. But there, it's the
well,
thought
let's
that
just say we'll concentrate on the strengths.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And it was tough this year for our panel, our august panel
certainly
of judges.
Was.
There were shots fired, but cooler heads eventually prevailed, and we settled on a unique resolution. I mean, I haven't been threatened this much by friends. I can't remember when. No, we didn't argue.
No. But it was difficult, and it required many long hours of reading and rereading and hashing things back and forth. I think we should stress, you know, to our listeners that we don't take this lightly. You know, we don't put them up at a wall and throw darts. You know, we really spend time analyzing them and evaluating them.
Right. We have pictures of Obama for that. All right, be right back in just a couple minutes. It's the 29th, 2 days away from Halloween, and I hope the weather is nice wherever you are. Monday will be November 1st. Gee. Tuesday is election day. Good luck. And so forth. It's going to be, I think, a pretty wild November. And unfortunately, a lot of Americans are going to have a rather Spartan Christmas, as they say, a holiday season, no matter what your religion, faith, persuasion, or belief system. It's affecting everyone. We will see. There are some very good deals available already. I'm seeing, buy two, get 27 free things. Well, not quite that bad. Are quite that good. I did see a buy one and get two free, a shoe thing. Payless Shoes, I think. Don't mean to push brands, but they're starting early, and I mean, it's not even November, and you know, it used to be the day after Thanksgiving, I guess, was the big shopping, but they're coming at us.
That was long ago.
Yeah. They don't have much hope for a big season, and everybody's maxed out, as they say.
Or holding on to it.
What is that?
That's a wolf.
Sounds like it. The banks are sitting on an awful lot of money. They're not letting it go. What are they trying to prove? They already have fractional reserve, which is a gift from the... If ever there was a gift from the gods of corruption and money lust, it was fractional reserve banking. So they're just... The system is stagnant, and it's not good. So keep in mind, one present per family member is fine. You don't have to buy 10, 12. You don't have to get into the competing and trying to outdo Uncle Bob and Aunt Jane and gee, Mom got me this and Dad only got me that and Santa brought me this. And don't compare, kids. Just, you know, if you get one present, treasure it, enjoy it. It's the season, it's the idea, and I'm sure your parents will tell you. Thanksgiving is not just one day. Thanksgiving is every day.
It certainly should be. I know many people are in despair, and we certainly send...
We do.
...our sympathy and empathy and all the best for things to improve quickly.
I don't... know what the answer is, but if we can if we could rise up as a people and flush the toilet of corruption and criminality and gangsterism and fraud, this nation could rise again as it once did to a position as the light of the world. And we still have it as a people, but we are under such incredible control. Talk about horrors and ghost stories and monsters and evil. You have to look no further than Washington, D.C. to find applications of those terms that stick very adequately. What is that?
I think it's an owl.
A screech owl.
Screech owl. They just don't sit and go hoot hoot. You know,
no. Screeching. We have the door open and the big oak door open.
There's all kinds of things going on back there.
I know.
Must be getting a little worried about you.
No, my door is closed. I have a gun on the desk here and no problems. I'm not worried. Explosives
strange
buried around the property.
Strange noises in the background.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
but
well...
You know, mm-hmm. We're out in Steiger Castle, and you're out in Rents Castle, way out in the wilderness, so I guess we have to expect to hear wolves and screech owls and so forth.
Yeah, but when you're in the produce section of the market, you don't expect that.
That's where we're doing the broadcast from tonight?
Now, never mind.
That would be interesting. That'd be interesting.
But the technology they have now, the blue box. Ah, we got to get you a blue box. I keep forgetting. You can plug it into any phone jack anywhere in the world and achieve literally digital quality studio audio. We talked about this. We got to talk. We got to talk some more. Because anytime you do a radio program, you just dial your blue box up, and they all have them on the other end now, and they connect, and that's it.
Well, it's hard for me to keep up with all the new technology. Even with the books, I see all of our books are Kindle now.
Kindleized.
Well,
congratulations.
Well, I call them, you know, they're in the same slot, but you just move down. You can get the real book, and you can get the Kindle book.
Well,
and I guess the Kindle is real, too, except you just push a button and get it in 10 minutes or something.
Yep, it's amazing. All right, hold on, gang. We'll be right back and begin our stroll down the Great Steiger Art Gallery as we continue. Windy there too. You had that big storm the other day, didn't you?
Oh, we were very, very fortunate. Certainly, it was a powerful, powerful wind, but not nearly. I mean, the night before, We switched to one channel, and they said this is going to be the worst in 70 years. Then we went to another channel, weather channel I'm talking about, and they said this is going to be the worst storm in the history for the Midwest, the worst storm in history. Worst storm ever. We're thinking, you know, do we dare go to bed? Well, we did have gusts up to 60 miles an hour, but, you know, contrary to popular belief, we get those quite often.
Right.
So it was just kind of a regular little rainstorm. We were very blessed because in other places, you know, that was not so. They really did get a huge storm, but thank the Lord, we dodged the bullet again. You know, it went around us. We've had enough storms this winter. We've had enough wind. We've had enough tiles off the roof and patio and being destroyed and so forth. It's been quite a summer. But thanks for asking. But we managed that went around us.
We had a
strong one, but not nearly the way they were talking. Worst in 70 years. Worst in history.
Well, the barometric pressure, or as they say in old England, pressure, the barometric pressure made it a Class 3 hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That was on, I guess,
now,
Tuesday.
I should clarify something. We did have candy bars when I was a child. But... remember, I grew up in WW2 time, so rarely did we get candy because that was diverted to the military, to the armed forces, which was we were all happy about that. That was the sacrifice that we were willing to make. And the candy we did get seemed to always be mixed with wax. It all had a waxy taste.
Vampire teeth would be made of wax, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
They had sugar in the wax.
Kind of spread through all the candy and so forth that we'd get. And, of course, chocolate, all we got, which was probably to our benefit, you know, is that very strong dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate, very healthy.
Better for you anyway.
Yep.
And chewing gum was just almost impossible. Now, neither of my parents smoked, neither of them drank, but my mom loved to have her chewing gum. And, I mean, it was just a rarity. When she'd get one, you know, she would guard it and miser it away, you know, making it last as long as possible. So it wasn't that they didn't have those things. It's just, you know, during the war, and that was the war that, in a sense, every family participated in, that was one of the things we gladly gave up for our uncles and fathers and sons and brothers overseas.
The waxy taste. I remember they had wax teeth, and they still do, and they put sugar in there, and you were supposed to chew them up. And it.
And then there was a little fluid.
Yeah, they had little, like, pop bottles with sugar water in them and...
Right.
Flavors. Right. Probably real flavors back then.
Probably.
But the wax always tasted like wax. I don't know. I don't care how much sugar you put, it still tastes like wax. But people would chew it up and spit it out.
Mm-hmm.
And they still have
spit
them.
It out.
You ate the wax? You waxed
it. I mean, it was,
you remember that line?
It was thoroughly throughout the treat.
You remember the Laurel and Hardy movie where Stan is in Ollie's living room and his wife in here having their perennial troubles, Ollie and his wife, who was played by Mae Bush. And Stan is sitting there pretending to read a newspaper. And there's a bowl of wax fruit, grapes and a banana and apple and he'd look left and he'd listen and when he'd think that they weren't watching him, he reached over and grabbed a wax apple. Of course, Stan thought it was a real apple.
Right.
And he took a bite and you're waiting for him to start, gagging and choking. And he kept right on eating. Like it was a real apple. That's Stan.
Yeah.
And that was the gag.
There were more than one of us kids who, after seeing that, thought, well, you really can eat those.
But
and
she
found to yeah, our immediate distaste that one really cannot. But
Mae Bush came in the living room and noticed that there was the apple missing from the bowl, and Stan had a newspaper, I guess, and she grabbed it away, and he had the apple, and it was just the core. And she said, you wax eater. And it was you had to be there. It was very funny. She said, so well, that's where
none,
that
none
fruit,
of us got as far as the yeah, core. We were spitting it out long before that.
Yeah. She said, so that's where all our wax fruit has been going. Yep.
There were some classics.
Yeah. Indeed. Did you see the story about the cell phone at the 1928 Chapman?
Oh, yeah. Probably.
200
I think
times.
I've received it at least 140 times. So.
Yeah. Well, I've solved it. We apparently have a solution. I don't know if you've seen that or not.
Yeah, I think so.
Mystery solved. It's right up there in the second entry. It's the second feature. It's mystery solved. Here are some compelling comments. And when you look at it, it's quite interesting. There's a link there. The German company Siemens had invented in 1916 a hearing aid device. So did you see the picture of it? It was a little handheld.
People have been sending me your story all day, too.
Yeah. Well,
and I get so many stories from your website, and I always think, don't people realize that Jeff and Brad have a relationship and that we're checking your page every day that we'd see it? But it's nice people are thoughtful. Yeah. They want to be certain that we see it.
Yeah. Well, just for those of you who haven't, do take a look at it. It was 1924 they came out with this device. Brilliant. And it had an earpiece on a cord. It wasn't a box. It wasn't a cell phone. The box part of it was actually had to be draped around your neck or somewhere where it was able to pick up sound. And it somehow, they had a system back then where it was able to transmit that sound up into your ear through the little earpiece. But it wasn't holding a device like an inch and a half by 4 inches long like a cell phone. It was just the guy's...
No, or like someone was saying, well, it couldn't be an ear trumpet. Well, you know, the conventional ear trumpet that we visualize is, you know, probably a foot and a half long and curved up. It really does look like a trumpet. So,
right.
No, it is not that. But I think it is probably solved with those...
Yeah, but here are there are some other things that are involved with that. But the person appears to be having a conversation.
Right.
There's no question about that. It doesn't look like someone's just listening, and there's no one around the person. That's one. When she turns or he turns toward the camera, you don't see the large box hanging out in front. Let's say it's 3x5 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you explain the feet? Those feet are about 18 inches long on that person. I mean, it's bizarre.
I thought it was the Wicked Witch.
Wicked Witch, yes. Yeah, I did
too. She had feet like that.
Yep. All right, back in a minute, gang. Hang on. We're back now. The winners are up on the homepage. All you have to do is click, and you'll see the Splash Art winners. I'd like to look at all the entries, and I'm not quite sure how to do that. Let's see. I'll see. Look at the bottom here. If you go to the bottom of the page, okay, well, the winners are there, so James has done a beautiful job of laying them out. Let's just go for the winners here. Okay, first place. And it'll be up on the Rents.com homepage momentarily. And after we've looked at the winners, we'll look at the rest of them.
Right. The winners are posted now.
They are?
They are.
And if you go to the actual page where it says winners, click on that, you'll see the winners. When you click on the small version of the art, a larger version will show up. And it's quite interesting. Now,
so the first placed winner is Vampires and Demons by Jack from England. Look at the detail on the work of that little boy and what's behind him. Let's hope the vampire and demons, they won't get it.
That's Nosferatu, isn't it?
That's Nosferatu. The true vampire appearance rather than the continental aristocrat Bela Lugosi. That's such an interesting story, you know, with the Dracula. How F.N. Murnau couldn't get the rights. So he just went ahead and filmed his own version of Dracula, calling it Nosferatu. But it is the Dracula story. Going to England, the whole thing, aboard ship. Interesting, there'd be 1,000 lawsuits today.
At least. Look at the little creature on the left down behind the candle. Look at the detail, look at the teeth. And look at the Jack has done just a really brilliant job of carrying the theme of the book and the story. Because you look behind the chair and there are very large books behind Nosferatu. And the idea, of course, is that books contain anything the mind can actually conjure up from the words.
That's right. A marvelous depiction of how the mind transforms the printed page into creatures far scarier, really, than any motion picture can come up with.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've all had that experience as a child reading it and scaring ourselves with our own images. Far more, I know what I used to imagine listening to Inner Sanctum when I was a kid. I've never seen the equal in motion picture yet. And slasher movies don't count. I mean, just disemboweling someone is not frightening.
It's too easy.
Grotesque.
Too easy. Chainsaws are too easy.
Too easy. I mean, of course, we'd be frightened. We wouldn't want them leather-faced madman chasing us with a chainsaw. But we'd be more likely to pop him off with something. No, if we were in that situation. But again, the Friday the 13th and so forth, the true horror, you know, gets right inside you and tickles those parts of your psyche that you try to keep protected. Just as a good book can do. Really describe and get you into it. And as I said, radio in its day, just a creak and a little bit of a voice and a moan. And wow, you're visualizing. Well, I think we can see that's what this little boy. And I think I just can't help thinking it looks like little Brad sitting there, even with the stocking cap on and the little snowball on top.
I think it's a girl.
You think it's a girl?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I do have my feminine side.
Your your hat, that hat has a little puffball on top of it, and I...
Yeah, what's your wrong hat with that?
Your hat would have had a Harley
what's
Davidson.
What's wrong with that?
You had had a Harley Davidson logo on it.
No, I did not.
Or Ford. I think it's a cute little girl.
Well, it might
you wouldn't
be.
Wear stockings like that. Did you wear stockings like that?
Of course. course.
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Are you kidding?
Sorry.
And we had to have... That's the way little kids dressed in the 30s. And then there was a little garter we wore that we'd click the top of the sock onto.
Excuse me?
Absolutely, we wore socks like that.
Now, wait, are you... I hear in your voice a tone of seriousness.
It is a tone of seriousness. You know, it took an hour just to get dressed.
Do you know that if a little boy, let's say that one's around 10-ish, 11, went to school now with socks held up by a garter? Well, never mind.
Well, no, I know it's completely different. But you remember, we had to walk, 4 miles to school all uphill in the snow.
If it weren't for you, there would never have been a cardboard industry. The bottom of your little shoes with big holes in them. Stuffed old cardboard
in
there.
No, not my shoes, just my socks.
That's amazing.
But no, that's the way little boys dressed in the 30s.
Well, they... Some of the bigger boys are dressing like that
now. It's a cute little kid anyway, whether a boy or a girl.
It's a great piece.
And the grotesqueries around him, her, are wonderfully crafted by our first prize winner.
Congratulations, Jack. Wonder what Jack's last name is, being that he's from England. Starts with an R, perhaps? Nah. Okay. That's a dandy. We're going to have that up on rents.com shortly. That's our winner for this year, so he'll get his truckload of prizes, and we do thank him very much. Thank you, Jack. Salute. He's probably asleep now over there. I think it's about 5. Well, it's almost 6 a.m. Okay, second place winner. The Witching Hour. Now, this is a very unique rendering.
I think it's superb. And we have the whole gang there.
The Little Rascals.
No. These are not the Little Rascals. These
Seven
are
Dwarfs?
The Little Monsters. The Little Monsters.
The gang is all there, all right. Look at that. Bats hanging underneath it. This is a strange one. I'm not quite sure if what the clock is sitting on. I guess it's just floating in the ether, and the satanic tail is the pendulum of the clock. It's pretty creepy.
And I think it captures so much of the essence of Halloween down through the centuries.
It is an historic piece. And those are...
Yeah, I really
feel... Well, it's Charles Dickens' suit that guy on the right is wearing.
Exactly.
And the cheerleader on the left is wearing no suit.
No suit at all.
Also a Dickinsonian rendering.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a witch's nose. And the fellow at the top with the enormous wings... is the big man himself, Aleister Crowley's alter ego.
I think that's Sir Nunos himself.
Mm. I'd love to see that. Hmm? I just have a...
Fiber in the wings. I mean, it's a marvelous detail.
No, it's...
You can look at this if you like grotesqueries, which some of us do. And I think that's what earned its second place prize.
Go look at the tentacles. I actually would love to see it with a red, deep red background. I think it would jump even more.
It would be marvelous.
But
I mean, you look at the blood veins in
exactly.
The
yeah.
King Demon.
No, the detail is amazing. That's really
amazing.
A very talented artist, as is our first. And I don't understand the techniques of digital art like James, our peerless webmaster, does, but he was very impressed with this as well.
Yeah,
and I think all of you will agree we have just some really superb first and second place winners. this year. That is really amazing, and it is down through the ages.
Yeah, that's the history of Halloween in one sense there. The clever artist name, I doubt if his really name is D.R. Acula.
Dr. Acula?
Yeah.
My chiropractor.
Clever synonym. It is a synonym for him, I don't know.
It's my chiropractor's name. Don't knock it.
I'm not knocking it.
All right. Well, congratulations.
To Dracula, or D.R. Acula.
Dr. Acula.
Dr. Acula.
All right, we'll come back and look at a very unusual first in the 52 years we've been doing this program next as we continue.